This scripture, everyone, I was talking about this woman who is so famous and really brought me joy to be able to share that story about her with you and the children today, because it's so inspiring. But there is nothing that compares with the word of God that we just heard here today. And this chapter here is one that my prayer really is for each one of you to have the opportunity more than once in life to share with someone that God leads to you these beautiful words of life. Can you see that for yourself? Can you see that and receive that for yourself, that God is calling you today to sit down and to ponder these great words that lead to eternal life and bring someone into the flock of God? You possess the authority because Jesus has given it to you to be a witness for his kingdom and to share the word of God with others so that they may know that there is hope for tomorrow. Amen. I want to read you a quote that I think will help us to be able to appreciate this woman again a little bit more, but mainly her belief in Jesus. Lily, her name is really actually Lilius Trotter, and she had a real gift for seeing things. You know, she saw the things around her, like I told the children just now. And she had this to say: the greatest thing a human soul ever does in this world is to see something and tell what it saw in a plain way. Hundreds of people can talk for one who can think, but thousands can think for one who can see. This was not some, you know, run-of-the-mill kind of a paint. You know, this is a person who had deep thoughts, and she wrote parables that used the nature that she saw around her to describe things like the cross and understanding God's creation and the things that God gives to us in this world. An incredible person. And she's not that well known because she was in Algiers, Africa all of her life, and people really didn't hear much about her until people who were in her family and discovered her paintings and brought her back into the view of everyone to see what she had done. But they're available now for us, and it's such a blessing to hear stories like that. But to just think about that, to see something and to be able to say what you see in a plain way is very valuable. And we're coming now into this scripture in the book of John in chapter 3. And we want to go in with these thoughts leading us and helping us to prepare our hearts and our souls for what God wants to say to us. We meet a man named Nicodemus. And Nicodemus was a Pharisee. He was a very learned man. It's believed that he was probably older at this point in his life. He had to have been a certain age because he was a member of the Sanhedrin, and they didn't accept younger men. You had to fulfill certain duties. You had to fulfill a certain requirements to have reached that point. And so he was at an advanced age, and he was known as a very wise person. He was a very learned person. He was someone who knew the law. He knew the Old Testament. He knew these things, and he was well respected. People looked up to him. And then he comes to Jesus in this scripture here today. And he is seeking something. He's seeking something. I was reading a wonderful book this week that spoke about how simple it is, right? Seek and ye shall find. And there's truth in that. And so when we seek in life, the Bible promises us that we will find. And Nicodemus went seeking Jesus, and he found him in more than one way. Amen. A man named Nicodemus, a ruler of the Jews. He was a ruler. Okay. And stay with me, everyone. This man came to Jesus by night, it says. And this is also full of meaning. He came in the night, in the dark. It could have been that he was coming there so that he wouldn't be seen, that he wanted this secret time with Jesus, that he didn't want to, he wanted to know more about Jesus in a way that may have really rubbed against gone against the grain of the other Pharisees who typically didn't want Jesus to be around and didn't like who he was. But the night also stands for the darkness of his soul, that he came in a state that was lost. He was blind. He was in the dark. We say if a person's in the dark, that means they don't know what's going on. That doesn't mean it's not meant as a criticism. It's just simply a state that Nicodemus was in. And so he came to him, to Jesus at night, and he said to him, Rabbi, which means teacher, we know that you are a teacher come from God. For no one can do these signs that you do. And Jesus had performed miracles. And so they said, we know that you are a man from God, a teacher come from God, for no one can do these signs that you do unless God is with him. And so he came to Jesus at this time, and that's the first thing that he says to him, right? We know that you are someone special from God. You have to be because you're doing these great things. So he was seeking something, and he was probably going to be asking another question, but Jesus anticipates what his thoughts are, and he speaks to him and tells him something in the next verse. He answers him. Truly, truly, I say to you, unless one is born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. He cannot see the kingdom of God unless he's born again. Okay. Now in our title for the sermon today, it says, if he's not born from above, you must be born from above. And the word in Greek has that meaning. It could be from above or again. And actually the both of them have the same meaning. But the main thing here is that one must be born in a different way than one comes into the world, right? There has to be something else that he's talking about here. You must be born again. You must be born from above if you want to see the kingdom of God. Do you see the what God is trying to say to us here through Lilius Trotter? And to see things around us, plainly explain them to people that are around you. This is not a woman that was talking about things in an intellectual, spiritual way that was of herself or of this world. She was speaking as a person who knew God and knew the truths of scriptures like this one and was explaining things in a way plainly for people to understand that there's more to life than what we see now. Right? There's more to life than what we see now. And God says to us through Jesus, his son, right? You must be born again if you are to see the kingdom of God. That means we cannot do it of ourselves. We cannot bring it about ourselves and things like that. God has to do something in us that is going to change us so that our eyes see what the kingdom of God is about. Right. And this is coming to a man named Nicodemus, who is a teacher and has been teaching people about the Old Testament and teaching them wisdom and other writings that were developed by the Jewish leaders. This is a man that was used to telling people the way it is, and this is what you need to do. It was another thing, the kingdom of God, it really doesn't exist in that phrasing in the Old Testament at all. But the kingdom of God for a man like Nicodemus, a man who was learned, a ruler of the Jews, would have meant the end of time when God receives everyone into heaven. That is the moment that the kingdom of God would be seen, be experienced. And so this man Nicodemus would teach not only that there's going to come a time like that, but basically if a man or a woman lives a life that is morally sound before God, they will enter into the kingdom of God. If you do things morally right, if you are a good person, if you are a good Jewish person, if you are a person that listens to the teachings and to the rabbis and to the things that he taught to them, that would be it. And he himself had a view of himself, most likely, that he was fitting that description. I am a person who is definitely going to be going into the kingdom of God, because I am a teacher of the law. I am respected by human beings. I am a good person. I am doing the things that I have seen in the scriptures and that we have formed in our own laws. I am that person. And now Jesus comes to him and he says, you're not. Can you imagine how that must feel? You're not. You are in the dark. You're not seeing, and I'm here to tell you what you need to see and how you can see it. Just imagine yourself in his place for a moment, to be such a highly regarded person, teaching people. They come to you to learn the truth, and now you're learning something yourself that is completely against what you've been telling people to do. But we believe that Jesus was not here to condemn the world, which is in this writing, right? But to save it. So he came not to condemn Nicodemus, but to save him. And that's what he does with us as well. And brothers and sisters, we can also think that we're okay. We're doing good. I've been baptized. I go to church most of the time. I live a good life. My understanding is that I have become a Christian. I've done the things that I need to do. And so all that is left now is that I'm going to go to heaven when the time comes. And Jesus is saying, no, that is not what I'm saying in this Bible of mine, in God's word, that this is not what it's about. It is actually a time now for the kingdom of God, and it takes a transformation, a complete transformation of your soul, so that you, like Lily Trotter, say, I choose God first. I know who my Redeemer is. And I know that it's very tempting when someone comes to me and says, you could be the greatest painter in all the world. And I know that that is a big struggle for me, because that sounds really, really good. But I also know who died for me and gave his life for me and rose again for me and gives me life eternal. And I know that that is worth more than anything I could ever paint. See, God is trying to speak to us today, isn't he? He's speaking to us today. He's speaking to us and saying, you've got to see things and you have to explain it plainly to people. That means you have to tell them who you are. You have to tell them where you've come from and what it was that was a struggle for you in your life and how you came to God and you saw that, no, but despite all these other things that are going on in my life, I know that he is my Redeemer. He loves me. Man, he loves me so much, and he died for me, and he rose from the dead, and he's coming again, and I can't wait to see him. And that is what God is trying to say to us today through this story of Nicodemus. All those years ago, is this person was so learned, and he had it all figured out, and he had it all wrong. But Jesus loved him, and he spoke to him, and he told him these words that have become the words that we as Christians use to describe the gospel. This man who is so learned and everything like that, and he had to be humbled before Jesus Christ, the Son of God. And Jesus used this man's life to be able to bring us into the truth that God so loved the world, that he gave his only son, that whoever believes in him will not perish but have eternal life. Young people, I know that you have a long life in front of you. You have a lot of plans. You have a lot of good things, and God is excited. You could have a gift for something just like Lilius Trotter. You could have a gift, and people are going to say, encourage you to further your life and to expand that. It's good to do that. There's one thing that God says to you. Do it to my glory. Do it to my glory. Fundamental truth. I wish that I had the wherewithal earlier in my life to have grasped the importance of that, that that is the clue to life and giving all of the things that you pursue meaning. And all of us sitting here, so that there is meaning because of Jesus Christ in my life. He gives meaning to the talents that I have. He gives meaning even to the struggles I have. And if I, you know me well enough to know that we have endured struggles in my family, and my sister is in heaven now looking down, and she was telling me before she died that God has a plan for our family. But she knows where she knew where she was going, and she's there. She knew her Savior. She had big plans. She has children. She was looking forward to spending time with her grandchildren, and she's in heaven instead. And that must have been hard for her to take as she came to the end of her life. But she knew that Jesus Christ is her Redeemer. And she knew that he had a place in the kingdom of heaven. And she dedicated her life to it. We have to see what God is teaching to us, right? But we must be born again. We must be born again. We must be born from above. Nicodemus said to Jesus, how can a man be born when he is old? Can he enter a second time into his mother's womb and be born? Do you hear the darkness? He's struggling here, right? It's like, okay, I'm a teacher. And I know great things, and I've been teaching people I'm the ruler of the Jews, and here I am being faced with something that just does not make sense, okay? And Jesus says, truly I say to you, unless one is born of water and the Spirit, he cannot enter the kingdom of God. That which is born of the flesh is flesh, and that which is born of spirit is spirit. Do not marvel to you that I say to you, you must be born again. And so Jesus is talking to a man that he really believes, should know these things. And he's bringing up this idea of water and spirit. You have to be born of water and spirit. You know, it's a very, very simple idea, actually, when we talk about it. There's lots of things written about this, but I'm just kind of a simple person, because I think about being born in the spirit and water means that I am cleansed from my sin, and the Spirit of God alights from heaven and fills me with the joy of Christ. It awakens me so that my whole being, the oldness, the old man that was filled with sin and the things that I was so disappointed with the life and angry about in my life, are no longer important, because I have found Jesus and he has found me. That is the way that one is born again, and you receive Jesus Christ, this good news, this powerful message that he's bringing to us. I am the way and the truth and the life. And so what Jesus was saying to Nicodemus is that I am here, and I am the way to go into the kingdom of heaven, into the kingdom of God. The kingdom of God is here among you now. And this man who thought that was reserved for a future time, when the end of the world or all of the times came to an end and people were resurrected and went to heaven, the good people and some of the bad would not make it, is now transformed to see that there is hope for the people today that have Jesus Christ in their hearts. They don't have to fear going to heaven or not going to heaven. They know that he is the truth and that he is the means by which they can go there. And what does he demand? Your life. You give your life to him. And why wouldn't you want to give him your life? He loves you. We were talking about this at the ESL class the other night, right? We were talking about this the other night. We were talking about why would we want to fellowship with Jesus more than anything else. We were reading this wonderful article where Billy Graham was at this conference, and this guy went up to him, and he was very, very shy about meeting Billy Graham, this great evangelist who had been a friend to politicians and had been also around the world giving these big evangelical meetings. And there were millions of people who heard him speak. And he went up to Billy Graham and he said, "What's the most meaningful thing in your ministry? What comes to mind as the greatest part of your ministry? Was it the millions of people that you ministered to throughout the world? Was it the fact that you shared the room with great politicians and spoke with them and gave them counsel?" And Billy Graham looked at him and he said, "The greatest thing that I experienced in my ministry was fellowship with Jesus Christ." And the guy who asked the question said, "I felt so foolish at that point and silly because I knew that I probably wouldn't have given that answer." But he also had the conviction and the belief that he wanted to give that answer. What's the biggest part of your life? What's the greatest part of your life? What's the greatest part of your ministry? Is it sharing Jesus Christ with everybody? Yes, that's important. Is it doing all of these things that we want to do for our church and to be able to go out beyond the doors of this church and to go into the community and to do all these things? Friends, it begins with your fellowship, your personal time, your daily time, your prayer time, your getting into the word time, your spending time on walks in the woods with Jesus. And that is the way that your life changes. You can offer nothing to someone when you pick up the Bible if you don't understand it yourself. And the way to understand it is a relationship and fellowship with Jesus. In our busy lives, we oftentimes forget that part. And we say, "We're going to do this on the fly. And I'm going to put this together quickly." Amen? Do you hear what I'm saying? That's me. That's the way I was for many years. I got all this work and I'm going to just pull out the Bible because I know it so well. And I've been a Christian for so long and I can just talk about it. And God is saying, it doesn't work that way. You have to give up things. You have to give up things so that I am more important to you. And that means that you have to sacrifice. If God is speaking to your heart, then just admit your sin of allowing the world to take over your life. Admit your sin and confess your sins. And that's during this time of Lent, to say, "Lord, I have been thinking more about myself and I have been trying to be the greatest in the kingdom, but you are the greatest in the kingdom. You are the one who has given me life. I was born from my mother's womb." That should be humbling to us. That should be humbling to us when we look at our parents and we say, "Why? I don't want to do what you say." And that's what we do with God. He gave us our lives. We wouldn't be here if it were not for him. We wouldn't have our life if our parents didn't give birth to us. But what do? We rebel and we say, "I don't want to do what you say. I don't like it that way. I want to do it this way. I'll stay out late at night. I'm going to do all these things. This is my cell phone." I'm sorry, guys, but this is the truth. And the society is seeing that. And there's articles written and there are people who are taking their lives who are teenagers. And meanwhile, we're just saying, "Let them do it." We can't do that. We cannot do that. We have to be responsible. We have to understand that it begins with our own walk with Christ. He is the one that teaches us these things. This is the scripture here. You must be born again. You must be fully born again. You cannot just take part of that and keep it. The other part, you have to give it up. Right? This woman, again, I'm going to talk a little bit more about Lily Trotter. She went and she got the call to go to Africa, and she went there alone. and she spoke with Muslim people, and she was in this great big country full of different people that had that worshiped other gods. And she went there to tell them the truth. Why do you think a person would do that? She had so much to go going for her. She had so much talent. Have you ever had somebody say that to you? You have so much talent. Why you should use it for that? Why do you waste time at church? Why don't you come and join us Sundays? Why don't you come and do that? Why don't you do this? Why don't you do that? Oh, and you say, well, it's because I'm a child of God. I'm sorry. There has to be another time for that one because I love Jesus and he deserves my life. And you know, the thing is, you actually can come with me and you don't have to fight me and tell me to go with you. You can come with me. You can walk right through the door. It's open. It's free. And you can learn about the greatest thing in life. But we cave in to the other things. Right? She had this incredible view of nature. She said that, you know, it's just so that we as Christians overlook or we neglect the appreciation of nature. But what did she do when she was in nature? She didn't honor nature and she didn't bow down to nature. She used nature to show people that God loved them and that he died on the cross for them. And she proclaimed God in all that was around her. And that's what we can do, right? And to see these things that God has given to us and then proclaim it and say, this is from him. This is not just something that exists in its own beauty. This is God speaking to me in what I see, right? It's all around us. And so God really wants us to pay attention to this from above. I have to be born from above. I have to be less interested in the things of this world and more of the things that are from above, the spirit, right? There's a chapter in Ezekiel that really Jesus probably was referring to and wanted Nicodemus to know about. And it spoke of these things. Let's see if I can find it. In chapter 36 of Ezekiel, I think. Let me see. Yeah. Thus says the Lord God, this is verse 33 in chapter 36 of Ezekiel. Thus says the Lord God, on the day that I cleanse you from all your iniquities, I will cause the cities to be inhabited and the waste places to be rebuilt. And the land that was desolate shall be tilled instead of being the desolation that it was in the sight of all who pass by. And they will say, this land that was desolate has become the Garden of Eden, and the waste and desolate and ruined cities are now fortified and inhabit. And then the nations that are all left around you shall know that I am the Lord. I have rebuilt the ruined places and replanted that which was desolate. I am the Lord. I have spoken and I will do it. He says earlier in that section, I will deliver you from all of your uncleanness, and I will summon the grain and make it abundant and lay no famine upon you. I will make the fruit of the tree and the increase of the field abundant, that you will never again suffer the disgrace of famine among the nations. And then you will remember your evil ways and your deeds that were not good, and you will loathe yourselves for your iniquities and abominations. It's not for your sake I will act, declares the Lord. Let this be known to you. Be ashamed and confounded for your ways, O house of Israel. But God is saying that he's going to cleanse them with water, and he is going to give them a new heart. I will sprinkle clean water on you, and you shall be clean from all your uncleannesses and from your idols. I will cleanse you, and I will give you a new heart, and a new spirit I will put within you. And that is what being water, being cleansed by water, being born of water and spirit is all about. It's that God comes in his power to cleanse us from our sins through the mighty power of Jesus' blood on the cross. It means that the Spirit of God comes in power and fills us with the goodness of God, making our hearts new. It's only through that. If you're struggling in your life right now, all you need to do is to submit to the water and the Spirit that God sends us from above. And you will be clean and you don't have to struggle. You don't have to do it anymore. You just have to accept it, receive it. It's from God. He wants that for us. Amen. So we go back to this chapter just for a few more minutes. It's too much for us to go much farther than this, but we really want to make sure that we're understanding this, okay? Jesus goes into this section here telling Nicodemus, how can these things be? And Jesus says, are you the teacher of Israel and you don't understand these things? We speak of what we know and bear witness to what we have seen, but you do not receive our testimony. He was not believing. He was not seeing with the eyes of faith. He was not seeing with the eyes of belief. And that's what sins are forgiven, that God, right? And that's what he was telling this Pharisee. He was telling him, you need to do this. That's how you're going to be. And many times we think that these words come from somewhere else or were spoken by someone else, but they're spoken by Jesus himself, for God so loved the world that he gave his only son. Whoever believes in him should not perish, but have eternal life. For God did not send his son into the world to condemn the world, but in order that the world might be saved through him. And whoever believes is condemned already, is not condemned, but whoever does not believe is condemned already because he has not believed in the name of the only Son of God. And this is the judgment. The light has come into the world and people love the darkness rather than the light because their works were evil. Everyone who does wicked things hates the light and does not come into the light, lest his works should be exposed. But whoever does what is true comes to the light so that it may be clearly seen that his works have been carried out in God. We have a lot of work to do, don't we? To learn these things and to eat this and to consume it and to bring it more and more into our lives. I can tell you from my own experience, I am very, very much a sinful person, but I can tell you this because I've learned it, that the more that you spend time in God's word, the more it becomes a part of you, the more that Jesus becomes a part of you, the more that you are able to see things that you never saw before, and the things that you struggled with are no longer struggles. It becomes more and more the Spirit at work in you, and you are free, man. You are free from the things that have hold on you. And you are more and more convinced that God is the only way. And all those things that I was taught all my life in church are actually true. And I'm living it out now because my life is not a bed of roses, but Jesus makes it sweet. And he comes in and he takes away the sin and he takes away all of my confusion and he takes away all the struggles and he replaces it with his peace. And I have experienced that. And I'm not boasting about myself. I'm boasting about Jesus. He does that. But there is suffering. There is a good amount of our time struggling in life, but it draws us closer to God. Why? Because if it didn't happen to us, we would leave him. Because that's the way we are. We're prone to wander. He helps us. Thank you. We forget it. We can't forget it. And that's why it's so important, young people, older people, to spend time, you and God, you in the fellowship of Jesus, right? Spending time with him, looking in, searching it, becoming a minister, becoming an ambassador of Christ, becoming these people more and more through the power of Christ. And if you think he can't do it, give him a chance. All you need to do is seek. Amen. There's nothing he can't do. That was another thing that God of the impossible. And there's nothing that you have done that is beyond his redeeming love. But he demands our whole life. And he deserves it. I'm done. Okay? But if you feel that God is calling you today, if Jesus is calling you, then give him your life. If you need to come in the front and pray, then come up and pray. Pour out your soul to God. If you need to confess your sin, confess your sin. But accept the free gift of Jesus' love in your life and give him your life or renew your life in him and receive the blessing that he gives to us. Let's